chapter 14, Proverbs chapter 14, we'll read verses 26 and verse 27. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children, that is the Lord's children, shall have a place of refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. The subject of these two verses is the fear of the Lord, which is something we have preached on several times, a very needed subject. But we see that phrase occurs in both verses, the fear of the Lord. It has reference to a condition of heart that, of course, displays itself in life or an outward act. In both verse 26 and 27, there's the definite article, the, speaking of something very definite, something very specific. That word introduces something very definite and specific. Notice also that in both verses it reads, the fear of the Lord is. The fear of the Lord is. That is, it has a, the word is has the meaning of having the state or quality of something. So it is, the word is a descriptive word. It's an identifying word. He's going to describe, when he says the fear of the Lord is, he's going to describe the fear of the Lord. He's going to identify what it is. The fear of the Lord is. Is, of course, is present tense. So whatever the fear of the Lord is, it's always so. It's present tense. In verse 26, it is the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. And again, it's always so. In verse 27, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. And again, it is always so. Notice also in verse 26, there is the preposition in, very first word, in. That indicates, of course, a position that we can be in. It says, in the fear of the Lord. So the fear of the Lord is a position that we can occupy. In other words, it is a state or a realm of being. If you're in something, you are in a realm of being. So in the fear of the Lord. Now as you read verse 26 and verse 27, you see that the fear of the Lord is relevant. It is strong confidence, and it's a fountain of life. Both of those statements make the fear of the Lord relevant. It's also very beneficial to life. Verse 26, the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. In other words, it's relevant. And we see in verse 27, fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. So this fear of the Lord, a state or realm of being, a place that we can occupy, or something that occupies us, is relevant and beneficial to life. Now, when Adam and Eve sinned in Eden, they feared God. We see in Genesis 3 and verse 10 that Adam said to God, "I was afraid." Well, that's fear. "I was afraid because..." So he's going to tell the reason he was afraid. "I was afraid because I was naked." In other words, he was afraid because he felt guilt. "And I hid myself." That is, because I was afraid, it led me to do something. It led me to hide myself from God. So as a result of this fear in Genesis, Adam and Eve dreaded to see God. Dreading to see God, they sought to hide from God. Lost man possesses that kind of fear. They seek to hide from God. They would deny that they dreaded to see God, but why else would they hide from God? So ever since that day that Adam and Eve fell, Adam's children, that's all of us, have been subjected to that kind of fear. A fear that arises from guilt, causes people to shut out God from their minds, causes people to shut out thoughts of God, and to hide themselves in places that they foolishly imagine that God cannot see them, that God cannot find them. This kind of fear, different than what we read of in Proverbs, this kind of fear is the product of guilt. It is the product of doubt. And it results in despair, a hiding from God. Now, from reading our text in Proverbs 14, 26, and 27, it is very clear that this is not the kind of fear that is being spoken of. The fear of the Lord being spoken of in our text is the fear of the Lord spoken of throughout the book of Proverbs. And it has reference to a reverence toward God. And we see from our text verses that such is of great benefit to the one who possesses this kind of fear of the Lord. So I want to speak tonight on life benefits of reverence to God. We, of course, live in a day marked by irreverence. And I'm not just talking about the world. We live in a day marked by irreverence to God. We read in Psalm 128 and verse 1, "Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord." Now, certainly, that is not talking about the kind of fear that Adam and Eve had when they hid themselves from God. It's talking about the kind of fear we read of in our text. "Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord." The word "blessed" refers to a joy. That is, the man who fears the Lord, the man who has a reverence for God, has a joy. Has reference to peace, to assurance, to satisfaction and delight. And this is all of the heart and mind. So the one who reverences God has in their heart and in their mind a joy and a peace and an assurance and a satisfaction and a great delight. This all is in their heart and mind and transfers, of course, into act. So let's first consider the matter of reverence to God. Reverence is high esteem. It's honor. It's to have a regard. It is to be in awe of. It is to have a deep respect and affection. All of those words describe reverence. If any of those are missing, it's not reverence. The meaning of the fear of the Lord in our text is seen from its contrast. Notice in Proverbs 14, verse 2, "He that walketh in his uprightness feareth the Lord." There's that fear again. So we've got a contrast here. "He that is perverse in his ways," perverse in his way is contrasted to uprightness. But there's another contrast. We see the feareth the Lord, and then there's a contrast to that. "Despiseth him." Now in the English language, to despise something is to abhor it, to hate it. But in the Hebrew and in the Greek, it includes that, but it also has the meaning of to think down upon or to think lightly of. So if you contrast that to feareth the Lord is to think highly of God. Irreverence, of course, is to think lightly of God. So this fear or reverence that the Bible speaks of, it's not the fear that a slave possesses toward his master, but it's more like a fear of a son toward his father. A fear that has a regard. It is a fear that has a consideration and an affection for the person of God. Yet also it includes a dread of his displeasure. And it also includes a desire of God's favor. So this reverence, this fear of God, has a regard for God, a consideration for God, an affection for the person of God. It includes a dread of God's displeasure and a desire for his favor. That's reverence. Now, this kind of fear is not possessed by man. We read in Romans 3 and verse 18, "There is no fear of God before their eyes." Now, he's not talking about the fear of God that led Adam and Eve to hide in the garden. All of Adam's children have that fear. He's talking about this reverence for God. There is no fear of God. There is no reverence before their eyes. So the state and condition of no fear of God is a characteristic of lost man. It is a characteristic of the wicked. Notice in Psalm 36... in verse 1, "The transgression of the wicked saith within my heart that there is no fear of God before his," the wicked's, "eyes." So this is characteristic of the wicked. So not to possess a reverence for God is wickedness. The very characteristic of the wicked. We are commanded throughout the Word of God to be in this state, to be in this condition, to live in the realm of the fear of the Lord or reverence to God. We read in Psalm 4 and verse 4, stand in awe. We are to stand in awe of God. That is, we are to be possessed of a reverence for God. Psalm 33 and verse 8, let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. Today, in most pulpits, most churches are filled with unsaved individuals. And God is preached in a way that makes unsaved individuals feel comfortable. How can that be? That's not reverence, that's feeding irreverence. God is to be preached as He's presented in the Word. And the result in lost man, unless God begins the work in his heart, lost man will seek to hide from God because of guilt. And that is why many times people don't come back, because they're going to hide. They've heard something about God, and now they're going to hide because of guilt. You and I can't change that. Nor should we try to change that. In Psalm 89, verse 7, God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints. The fact that the saints have to be told to fear God is indicative of a great problem. But God is to be feared in the assembly of the saints and to be had in reverence of all them that are about Him. He's to be had in reverence. Proverbs 23, verse 17, be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. That doesn't mean that you live life fearing that God is going to strike you dead, that God is going to pour judgment down upon you. It means that you live every day of your life regarding God, considering God, having an affection for God. Yes, dreading His displeasure, but also desiring to please Him. That's reverence. That's reverence for the Lord. 1 Peter 1, verse 17, pass the time of your sojourning here in this world of irreverence. Pass the time of your sojourning here in fear, in this reverence for God. It is part of the whole spiritual duty of man. We read in Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God. Keep His commandments. The order is very significant. It's not keep His commandments and fear God. It's fear God and keep His commandments. You have a reverence for God. The natural result of that will be you will keep His commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. Just to keep His commandments is not the whole duty of man. But to fear God, to reverence God, and then keep His commandments. This is the whole duty of man. So for those who strive to keep His commandments but have no reverence for God, no reverence for the person of God, they're not fulfilling their duty. Part of the duty is to possess this fear. So we are to live in the state of reverence to God. Reverence to God is to possess our hearts and it is to be manifest in our lives. So now we want to look at the relevance of reverence to God. In Malachi chapter 1, and we've used Malachi to preach on the subject of irreverence in the past, but in Malachi 1, in verse 6, God rebuked His people for losing this fear or this reverence of God. He said, a son honoreth his father. That is, a son has a reverence for his father. And a servant his master. If then I be a father, it's what they called him, where's my honor? Where's my honor? He's rebuking them. He's saying you're guilty of irreverence. And if I be a master, they called him master. Many do. Where is my fear? Where is my reverence? And then he proceeds from there to describe how their irreverence displayed itself in their lives. Irreverence displays itself in life just as reverence displays itself in life. Both are a condition of the heart, irreverence and reverence, but both displays itself in life. So let's look briefly at how irreverence displays itself. First of all, there was a failure, because of irreverence, to recognize the grace and the mercy of God. Irreverence causes someone to be oblivious to God. Someone says, well, you know, I just don't think about God enough, but starting tomorrow, I'm going to. Not if you don't take care of the problem of irreverence, because that's the root. That's the root. So, irreverence causes someone to be oblivious to God, causes someone to be oblivious to God's love, God's blessings, causes an individual to be thoughtless concerning God, insensitive and indifferent toward God. Irreverence caused the people of Malachi to be selfish, caused them to be ungrateful, caused them to question their own guilt, and also to question the goodness of God. They failed to lay to heart what God said to them. God charged them with such in chapter 2 and verse 2. If ye will not hear, and if ye will not lay it to heart to give glory unto my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you. God is saying, you continue in your ways, and I'm going to pour judgment down upon you. Yea, I have cursed them already, because ye do not lay it to heart. Irreverence does not take the word of God seriously. It may listen. It may even enjoy listening. But it does not take the word of God seriously. And they manifested this throughout the book of Malachi. In chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. Chapter 2, verse 17. Chapter 3, verses 7 and 8 and verse 13. In all of those verses, God charged them with a specific sin. And they said, wherein have we? Wherein have we? Lord, you're saying this, but where are we guilty? Irreverence shrugs off the message of God. You know how many messages in Baptist churches have been shrugged off by God's people? I would say that it might be more than those who have received it. It's at least close. Irreverence shrugs off the messages of God. That's why people can hear a message and leave the service and go do something enjoyable and forget all about it. Shrugging it off meant nothing. In fact, God said to them in verse chapter 1 and verse 13, he said, ye snuffed at it. That is, they sought to smother and choke the word of God. due to their irreverence, what God said to them meant very little. Due to their irreverence, every time they made that statement, wherein have we? What they were doing, they thought that what God had brought up was open to debate. That's irreverence. When God says something, it's not open to the debate. It's not open to discussion. But that's irreverence. Well, here's what I think. Well, guess what? It doesn't matter. When God says something, it's not for us to debate it. So God spoke directly to them. And due to irreverence, they went their way and continued on in their sin. And it happens every church service in every church. People, there are those that hear the message, they go out the door, and they just continue their life just the way it was. The message meant nothing to them. That's irreverence. In spite of how reverently they might talk, that's irreverence. They were content to offer God their leftovers. Verses 7 and 8 of chapter 1, he says, "Ye offer polluted bread upon mine altar, and ye say, wherein have we polluted thee? In that ye say, the table of the Lord is contemptible." That is, it's despicable. "And if ye offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if ye offer the lame and sick, is it not evil?" And he issues a challenge to them. He says, "Take the sick and take the lame sheep and offer it unto thy governor. Go offer it to him. Will he be pleased with thee or accept thy person? Saith the Lord God." People have this strange idea that whatever I offer to God, God being God, has to accept it. God has to accept what man would not accept. And they are content with giving God their leftovers. Giving God something that cost them absolutely nothing. And that's what happened every time they offered a sick sheep or a lame sheep. They were offering that which cost them nothing. And when people worship out of convenience, that's what they're doing. Well, we'll probably be there Sunday. We don't have anything else going on. That's irreverence. That is offering God your leftovers. That is offering God what costs them nothing. That is a manifestation of irreverence. And what's sad is, here in Malachi 1, 7 and 8, when they were offering that sick sheep or that lame sheep, they were quite satisfied doing so. Didn't bother them in the least. And so it is today. Oh, how many today? How many today offer unto God that which costs them nothing and they're very satisfied in doing so? Don't you dare challenge them. They are very content in their religious performance. And due to irreverence, they thought that God should be accepting of whatever they offered as if they were doing God a favor. They put the matters of God on the level of the common. Chapter 1, verse 12, they are charged with the fact that they profaned the things of God. That is, they treated them as not holding any particular sanctity. They treated God in the matters of God as commonplace things. In fact, they put them below commonplace things. That's irreverence. Due to irreverence, the work of the Lord became a drudgery. Verse 13. "Behold, ye said also, behold, what a weariness is it. Ye have snuffed at it, saith the Lord of hosts. And ye brought me that which was torn, and the lame, and the sick. Thus ye brought an offering. Should I accept this of your hand? Saith the Lord. Behold, what a weariness it is. Oh, we're so tired. Oh, this is so hard. Oh, this is such a drudgery. That's irreverence. It's irreverence to God. The truth is, there are people who are very easily tired and exhausted in the work of the Lord. And yet they spend an awful lot of energy in the world. And even the Lord Himself in Isaiah 43 and 22 issued a question. He says, "Thou hast," or issued a charge, "Thou hast been weary of me, O Israel." He's saying, you're tired of me. And all you have to do is look around today, and there are people who claim to be saved who are tired of God. They're tired of God. They're tired of God's ways. That's irreverence. It's irreverence. So this is a very serious matter. From all this, we see that irreverence is a very dangerous condition. It is a condition that diminishes spiritual life. And may I say, if it diminishes spiritual life, it diminishes life itself. It diminishes life itself. But on the other hand, there is the life benefits of reverence. In Proverbs 14:27, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. That phrase, a fountain of life, suggests something. First of all, he's telling us what the fear of the Lord is. It's a fountain of life. That is very suggestive of something very impressive. A fountain. A fountain of life. So what is a fountain? Well, a fountain is a source. A fountain is a spring. What are some of the thoughts that come to your mind when you think of a fountain? Well, a fountain conveys the idea of abundance. A fountain conveys the idea of freeness, something that's free. This fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. It is a source. It is a spring of life. That is abundant life. But it says the fear of the Lord is. That is, it is continually. It is now. And it continues to be a fountain of life. So since the fountain is the source, life is what it yields. So this fear of God yields life, produces life. And that is abundant. The same thought is conveyed in Proverbs 19, verse 23. Where we read, the fear of the Lord tendeth, or is inclined or disposed, and then it says, to life. The fear of the Lord tendeth to life. Reverence to God tends to life. It is inclined to life. It is disposed to life. So the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. That states that reverence for God is the source of a certain type of life. And again, the life that continually and freely flows, it is the life that continually and freely flows from the fear of the Lord. Reverence for God produces life. So what kind of life does it produce? Well, it is a life that is cheerful. It is a life that is uplifting. It is a life that is inspiring. It is a life that is motivating, invigorating. It is a life that is extraordinary. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. It is a life of enjoyment. It is a life of protection from destruction. We're talking about the benefits of fear, the fear of the Lord, a reverence to God. This is seen, notice again there in Proverbs 14, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. So it is a protection from the snares of death. It is a protection from the traps that will cause you to die. From the traps that will destroy you. The fear of God or the reverence of God is a protection from that. In other words, reverence for God is a preventative from the traps of destruction. This world, everywhere we step, there's a trap. There are snares everywhere. But the fear of the Lord causes one to depart from the traps of death. Now, those who do not possess this fear of God, or those who are not possessed by the fear of the Lord, they hate, they reject, and they think little of God's instruction, which instructs them concerning this trap. And they do not seek God, and as a result, they fall into traps. And some have been in those traps for a long time. That's where they live. That's where they live. Notice in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 28 through 31. Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. Now that doesn't sound like the God that is proclaimed today. And here's why. Here's why when they call me, I will not answer. Here's why when they seek me, they will not find me. For they hated knowledge. That is the knowledge of me. And did not choose the fear of the Lord. They chose to be irreverent rather than reverent. They would none of my counsel, which describes irreverence. They despised or they thought lightly of all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own ways and be filled with their own devices. That pretty much describes the world. They are filled with their own ways. Why are they so miserable? Because they're filled with their own ways, and their ways lead to misery. Reverence for God causes one to hate that which is destructive. We read in Proverbs 8, verse 13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Reverence for God hates sin. Reverence for God hates that which is evil. Reverence for God does not play with sin. Reverence for God causes us to depart from the snares of death. Proverbs 14:27, to depart from the snares of death. Proverbs 16 and verse 6, by the fear of the Lord men depart from evil. Now if reverence for God or fear of God causes one to depart from evil, then the opposite of that causes them to rush into evil. And that's what irreverence does. It pulls people into evil. So this reverence is a fountain of life. Kind of life we're talking about is a life of confidence. We see in verse 26 of our text, Proverbs 14, in the fear of the Lord is strong, that is durable, compelling, confidence, trust, assurance, intimacy, These are found in reverence for God. So reverence for God provides and is a life of explicit trust in the Lord. What is the root of unbelief? Irreverence. What is the root of the failure to trust God? It's irreverence. I mean, if you acknowledge God for who He is, it's not hard to trust Him. But it's when you think lightly of who God is and you think your problem is bigger than God. That's irreverence. So you see, irreverence is a root problem. It's a root sin. It's also a life of security and peace of mind. This is seen again in verse 26. The fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and His children shall have a place of refuge. A place of refuge is a place of security. It's a place that gives you peace of mind. And that's why we read in Proverbs 15 and verse 16, better is little with fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. Because even though you have little, fear of the Lord gives you security. Fear of the Lord gives you peace of mind. It is a life of wisdom. It's a life of instruction. There isn't much wisdom in the world today. I'm talking about heavenly wisdom. James talks about heavenly wisdom and earthly wisdom. And the two are diametrically opposed. And I recently told someone all the troubles that were going on in the church. I said, it's because everyone is exercising earthly wisdom. Read what it says. You are manifesting every characteristic of earthly wisdom and not one single characteristic of heavenly wisdom. But what's the root problem? Irreverence. Because reverence for God is a life of wisdom. Proverbs 1 verse 7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. It's the beginning of knowledge. In other words, we'll paraphrase that, it's where knowledge starts. So if you don't have the fear of the Lord, you don't even have the starting of knowledge. Don't even have the starting of it. In the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And throughout Proverbs, knowledge and wisdom, though they are a little bit different, they are used synonymously. And as you read on there in Proverbs 1:7, but fools, those who are not possessed with reverence for God, despise wisdom and instruction. How many people who have problems in their lives, you sit down with them, you open the Word of God, and they don't want to hear anything from this book? Well, why is that? It's because they have no reverence for God. They have no reverence for God. My question is, can you even help someone who doesn't have reverence for God? I don't believe so. I believe the only thing you can do is turn them over to God. Proverbs 9, verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge of the holy, that is those possessed by a reverence for God, is understanding. He's talking about understanding the things of God. Proverbs 15, verse 33, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. So wisdom is not merely knowledge, but it's knowledge rightly used. And we're talking spiritual knowledge. Proverbs 15 verse 2 says, the tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright. Well, that tells me that you can use knowledge incorrectly. But the tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, or uses spiritual knowledge correctly. They're able to apply it to their lives. That's wisdom. Wisdom is being able to apply God's Word to your life. Wisdom is seen through God's point of view. To me, that's the best definition of wisdom. You see something as God sees it, that's pretty wise. That's wisdom. That's wisdom. We're told in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 4 that Jesus Christ is the wisdom of God. So the more Christ-like we are, the more wise we are. The more in agreement we are with Christ, the more wise we are. It makes me ill when someone will point to a wicked individual, a child of God that's not faithful, and say, that man or that woman has wisdom. Well, where in the world did you get that? They're fools. If they're wise, it'll show in their life. And people seek counsel from people who are unfaithful to God, and we're going to go talk to this man or this woman because they're wise. If they were wise, they'd be faithful to God. So fools go to fools for counsel. And the result, of course, is, well, it's everywhere. So the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The foundation of wisdom is the fear of God. It's a life of hope in God. Psalm 33, verse 18. Psalm 147, verse 11. Fear those who fear God, hope in God. It is a life that delights in God's ways. Psalm 112, verse 1. The one that feareth the Lord delighteth in His commandments. He doesn't only do the commandments of God. He takes delight in God's commandments. He finds it joyful. He takes pleasure when God tells him, do this. He rejoices his heart. He doesn't try to find a loophole. That's a fool. Wisdom delights in God's ways. This life of wisdom will cause singleness of heart. Colossians 3, verse 22, and singleness of heart fearing God. Singleness of heart fearing God. Reverence for God keeps clutter out of our lives. Irreverence for God brings clutter in. And then that irreverence, once you bring the clutter in, that irreverence now has a problem putting things in the right priority. Reverence for God never has a problem putting things in priority. Because God is the priority. That's reverence. It is a life that brings blessing. Notice, and we'll close, Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 12. We'll come close to closing. Though a sinner do evil 100 times, and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear God. It shall be well with them that fear God, because he feareth not before God. We read in Psalm 25, 14, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them. The benefits of a life of reverence, the secrets of God, are known by those who reverence God. Those who reverence God have things shown to them that no one else sees. Psalm 33, verse 18, behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him. Psalm 103, verse 13, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him, takes compassion upon them. Psalm 147, 11, the Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him. So it's no wonder that we read in Psalm 112 and verse 1, blessed is the man that feareth the Lord. Blessed is that individual that fears God. And we learn from Deuteronomy 14 and 23 that reverence is learned. And reverence is to be continual. There in Deuteronomy it says that thou mayest learn to fear the Lord thy God always. It's something we learn. We learn to reverence God. Deuteronomy 6, verses 1 and 2 tells us that the source of reverence to God is the Word of God. God uses His Word to teach us reverence for the Lord. We read in 1 Samuel 12 and Psalm 33 and Psalm 130 that one way we learn reverence for God is just simply considering who God is and what God has done. How can you think upon God, who He is, who this book says He is, and not reverence Him? How can you think upon what God has done in your life and not reverence Him? So we see reverence is learned, and every day we ought to be learning to reverence God. Because none of us reverence Him as He ought to be reverenced. We won't do that till we get to glory. But we ought to learn more and more reverence every single day. That's why it ought to offend us when somebody uses God's name in vain, or when somebody teaches error concerning God. It ought to just go through us. We can't tolerate it because of a reverence for God. This fear of reverence is to be prayed for. Psalm 86, verse 11, the psalmist said, "Unite, that is, connect, fuse my heart to fear thy name. Cause my heart to fear thy name. Cause my heart to have reverence for you." In order to maintain reverence for God, it obviously can be lost. The people in Malachi lost it. In order to maintain reverence for God, we are to stay in His Word. We're to read it properly. Read it with the right spirit. Stay in His Word. We are to contemplate more and more His person, who God is. Take time every day to think about the person of God. Take time every day to think about the works of God. And then pray and pray and pray, "God, give me more reverence. Give me more reverence for Thee." Because I'm telling you, there's many benefits in life from just a reverence for the Lord. Brother Jim, if you'd come and lead us a verse song.